Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, hello, welcome to the Whole Truth Podcast with myself, Jordan Stevens, and I'm now joined by Greg James, actual Radio 1 presenter.
How are you?
I'm good, mate. We're mates. Definitely.
Yeah, we're mates.
Yes. All right, cool. Yeah, I was just double checking.
Yeah. Although you didn't really remember the last time I saw you.
No, because it's all in one beautiful blend of just
life.
Greg James imagery.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
And, you know, just listening to the show makes you feel like you're my friend. All the listeners are friends.
Totally. Well, listen, you're looking well, mate. You're looking well and,
thanks.
And you're glowing, I think.
I had 2 weeks off. And I remembered how much I like sleeping,
right.
How much I like staying up late drinking, and how much I like sort of having a lie-in.
Really?
And then I feel like...
All things that you have, of course, sacrificed.
Yeah, partly ruined my life by doing the breakfast show. But it is a fun... When you're there, it's fun. Getting there is a nightmare sometimes. Just get that 10 to 5 alarm clock. You go, why?
Why have I done
why?
This?
Why? I think that every day.
Oh, you know what, mate?
But then at 6:30 when I'm on, I'm like, okay, it's the best job in the world.
Well, just, I love getting up at 5 to 10 to 5.
No, you don't.
I genuinely do. Well,
Do you go for a swim or
choice? No, I've kind of believed that that's like the golden hour. But I am now wondering whether or not I would prefer to stay up late. It's just, as I get older, even though... You know, I'm still very young.
You sound like me when I say that, and then I have to cover my back when the bosses are like, well, how old is he now? How old are you?
No, it's just, I've been experimenting a lot with different. I just like periods of the day where there's kind of quiet or a feeling of like no pressure.
Mm.
But like, I live near two pubs, so like, even 1 or 2 in the morning is a bit like, I'm aware people are not. They're doing things. Whereas if I get up at 5, there's 5 to 6:30, as you know, is kind of like almost the quietest I think you can be.
I think 6 is fine. I think there's something weird about seeing your alarm go off in the hour of 4, and you're like, nah, this is
4:55. 4:50. It actually has 4 in it.
4:50.
But 4:44 is why Jay-Z made his most recent album.
So. Alright, so from tomorrow my alarm will be 4:44.
That's what it should do.
In your honour. And thank little man, it will cheer me up every day. Yeah. But anyway, I feel like I'm moaning about my job. This is a job I've wanted to have forever.
Yeah.
And I love it. And
you're
I'm actually pleased that I've got it a bit later in my Radio 1 career.
Well, as a 25-year-old.
Yeah. As a 33-year-old looking 25-year-old.
Right.
I'm pleased to have got it now because I feel like I've got a bit more life stuff in my brain.
Almost certainly.
Yeah, but also I know... I've done a lot of getting pissed in my 20s.
Yeah.
On weeknights and stuff, and I'm sort of a little bit over it.
Yeah.
But I'd still quite like to do a bit more.
Well, my friend, because I've been sober for like a year and 4 months now.
That's good going, that.
Yeah.
Do you feel better?
Yeah. I'm not like, I don't know, I'm not like, yo, like never again.
Yeah.
It's just, at the moment I'm in a blissful phase where I actually have no interest in returning to the game, as it were. But my mate says, he was just like, I asked him about it and I said, oh yeah, you know, I don't really go out as much as I used to because I don't drink so much. And he was like, oh yeah, yeah, me neither. And I was like, well, if you ever want to talk about it. And I was like, all right, like, well, how do you feel about it? And he goes, well, I just completed the game, didn't I?
That's it.
I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I just did it. I've done it.
Yeah.
I won. I did the game. I spent a lot of nights in, you know, unfortunate situations and, you know, and great stories, and I've done now. Which was not a nice definitive thing. I have a little voice in the back of my mind, which is like,
I think it's, well, for me, Bella, my wife, who I got married to last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You guys are LOL on Instagram.
She's a very funny lady. She's a writer, so she tends to write better at night and sort of comes alive in the afternoon, in the evening, in the nighttime. And that was quite a hard thing because she's up until about 1 or 2 and I have to sort of creep upstairs to bed at 9 p.m.
At 9, yeah.
Like, see you tomorrow. I'm like, can you tuck me in? You know, it's that kind of thing. Yeah. And she's like, I'm not your fucking mum. So that's been a weird adjustment. But, you know, doing the breakfast show is not forever. And I think I just got to go for it while I've got the opportunity.
No, I think it is forever. That's what I heard.
The eye bags are forever.
I heard it's forever. Yeah, no.
It is forever.
Well, it is great. Listen, and you know, like the impression you make on genuinely the nation, it's quite a lot of responsibility going on there.
I think that's the most fun thing about it, is that time of day you have got people at their most vulnerable, and you know, talking about mental health, that is when you are most susceptible to feeling sad. Like one thing in your morning could really set you off for the whole day. And as long as that thing is good, and that's sort of our motto on the show, which is, let's do something stupid, let's do something funny, let's play a funny clip, or you know, we found a funny bit from a funny caller from the day before.
So we try
and pack that show with as much. It's like joyful is too much of a twee word, but we like it to be joyful, that show.
Yeah.
Without it being, as I said, twee or lame. You want it to you know, have something about it. But it's definitely, it's supposed to be a positive place.
Yeah, of course.
To be in the morning.
Well, it's a lot. That first drive is a lot, or walk, or...
It is, yeah.
Other than for... If you've been awake for an hour already, like me,
yes, mug,
I'm ready.
But by 6:30, you're just sort of
ready, mate.
You're winding down.
Walk the dog already. You know what I mean?
He's done.
Second breakfast.
He's ready for bed.
You did touch on something with your age and placement in life, which I really want to get onto.
Yeah.
But before that, I have to ask a question that I think is synonymous with all mental health podcasts, which is a genuine and. I don't know what other word to describe it as, but just asking you how you are. How are you?
I am
genuinely.
Well, I genuinely am feeling sort of mentally stronger than I have done maybe ever, I think. But that's probably because I'm better at talking about it, and I am much better at leaning on the people around me when I'm feeling a bit unstable.
Mm.
So I think stronger than ever because I feel like I've got more of a hold on it, and I know how to catch it before I
like the term leaning.
Yeah.
Why do you say leaning?
Leaning on someone. So I would lean on Bella if I'm just saying I'm finding this very hard to cope with.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually normally workload plus tiredness, and then a real anxiety around not spending enough time with the people closest to me because of the work things. And I think that's a very universal feeling. It's probably a very sort of 2019 feeling of like you're so overrun with things. And there's so much stuff going on that you sometimes forget about spending time with the people that are most special to you. And you think, well, they'll always be there. And then actually my mum got ill quite recently and that just threw me off. And I was like, fuck, why am I doing this? I shouldn't, that's not what I should be worrying. I should be spending time with mum, and I should sort of cancel a few things and whatever.
So hard though, man.
Really hard because you, and also then I've got to go and be fun every day on the radio. And I suppose in any job, you've got to perform, haven't
That's
you?
That's hard.
So you have to then at 6:30, after I've spent a long time with dad or mum on the phone the night before, you've got to forget about that for a little bit. And so all of those things, they're just life things, but they are hard to deal with. But I'm much better at talking about them. I mean, I wouldn't have talked about them on a podcast 4 or 5 years ago. And I think we've all come a long way.
That's incredible, though. That is, you know, to put it like that, you have a responsibility to be bubbly every morning, mate.
But that's why I think it's also important that I say that isn't me all the time.
Yeah, of course.
And it's not any performer, any time, or anybody, any time, all the time. You're not. No one is one thing. I think is another really important point. And I said on Radio 1 maybe 3 or 4 months ago that I'd had a panic attack.
Yeah.
That week, and that's no. I would never have said that 4 or 5 years ago. And the amount of people that then messaged in and contacted me on Instagram and stuff to say, "My God, I would never have thought that you'd be suffering from that stuff. I have this, or my mate has this, or my girlfriend has this," and it just does open up the conversation. And that, and opening up the conversation, has become, you know, a bit of a buzz phrase, isn't it, at the minute? But it's very, very important.
It is a buzz phrase, but I think it is in response to a genuine social shift. I think we're competing with like an incredibly rapid evolution in technology and in and interacting, you know, the network that we exist in. Sometimes when people say, you know, there's been conversations suggesting that with the amount of labels getting thrown around and, you know, anxiety, this and depression, that, you know, maybe you're even manifesting these feelings. But I strongly oppose that view on the basis that I feel we're so close to our existence that we don't step out and go, no, actually, I think if you really look at what everyone is competing with every day, it's a miracle. People are just constantly, the entire time.
It's too much.
Especially for in the city.
The world is probably too much.
Yeah. Like,
so you have to find ways of turning it down and turning it off every now and then.
Did you know you were going to need to put up... I got a couple of questions. So firstly, did you know you needed to manage your mental well-being going into the job, or did you find that out through an experience? And what was it that led to your panic attack?
I knew that I had to have my life in order to take on a job like this, right. I think. And as much as you can have your life in order. So Bella is a massive part of probably where I've had my development as a human in the last
Amazing.
3 years or so, because it's reminded me of having that grounding of a real life. And then you go off and do a job, which is not necessarily real life. It's very important to your life, and it gives me a lot of amazing things that I get to do. But my main thing that you return home, I needed to have a home to return to. Not a literal home, but just like my best sort of five mates, Bella, mum and dad, my sister. And then, and when that's there, you can kind of disappear off, but as long as you can return back to it. I think that was very important for me, so I sorted that out. And then I guess maybe it all came hand in hand, really, that Radio 1 saw that I was in a much better place and therefore doing better work, because it was work, and I was just throwing everything at it and feeling relaxed, therefore more creative and coming up with better ideas and all the rest of it. And then actually being better on the radio and learning how to be better at that and not panicking about it as much and not letting that job just be the only thing that defined me, I guess, was quite important. What was the other part of your question?
And then, what, the panic attack?
I think it was just a mixture of everything. Trying to do everything, trying to make sure that show stayed afloat and keep pushing it forward and saying yes to all the things that people are asking me to do. And
thank you.
No. But this is something that I've wanted to do for a while, actually, because these sorts of podcasts are so important, because you hear people, like Pro Green, you had Reggie on, and all those sorts of big names talking about these things to their fan bases, and there are a lot of people that would not have thought that Reggie would have gone through those things, or the program would have, you will find that stuff about people that you interview. So the panic attack was, I think, just a mixture of tiredness and feeling a bit overwhelmed, and that job is overwhelming sometimes if you let it be overwhelming. And I think when people are tired, you're more susceptible to feeling sad and a bit displaced and like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So it was that, and mum not being very well. And
I mean, that's
and also
lot.
Bella is, you know, when you marry someone and when you love someone so deeply, you feel all of their things as well. And she's done amazingly well with her work in the last few months, but she suffers quite badly with stuff. And I want to make sure that I'm giving her enough time. And I sometimes don't feel like I am, and just all that stuff.
Sometimes it's just stuff. Emotionally, it just
and
comes
sometimes
to
just, I remember I just stood in the, I stood in my bedroom and was like, I can't make a decision. I can't move. I'm sort of paralyzed with this thing. But then I just lay down on the bed and was like, this will pass. And it did. And I sort of called Bella and went, I think I'm. I don't want you to worry, but I think I'm having a panic attack. And but it happens to a lot of people.
Is that something she's dealt with?
She suffers quite. She has suffered quite badly with anxiety and depression over a number of years, and she manages it. And I'm aware of it, and I know what to look for, and I know the questions to ask, and when to leave her, and when to sort of run in and say, I'm here.
I can help. Be available.
I can help you with this. Talk to me. So she's helped a lot in understanding it, and has helped me learn more about it, and encouraged me to read certain things or talk to certain people about stuff. But yeah,
it is all about management, really, isn't it?
Totally.
Did you know what? When were you first made aware of mental health as like a thing? Do you know what I mean? Like,
consciously. Well, I think if I looking back, I remember my dad, who suffers with depression still now, because he very rarely sort of, we don't really ever get over it. You have to manage it, don't you, really? And I think, so my dad lost his job when he was 51. He was a head teacher, so he was smashing it. He was an amazing teacher, but got ill. He just got very poorly. His heart was dodgy and he suffered badly with stress and I guess anxiety, but then he couldn't work anymore, so he suddenly just was at home on a pension essentially at 51, and that's not what his plan in life was going to be.
I was
17 or 18 at the time,
right,
and I was just about to go to university, and I didn't know what that was, really. I just was like, oh, dad's a bit sad, but I was like, you can do anything you like. Now you've got a dream. You've got no job, mate. Yeah.
It's like terrifying.
And I didn't really understand it. And I don't think he even understood it. And no one really talked about depression. It was the mid-noughties. And it wasn't really a thing that nobody really talked about it so much.
Yeah.
So openly.
To be like so melancholy or something.
Yeah. Oh, why are you sad?
Yeah, why are you sad?
Because he lost his job. but I suppose that was the first real contact I had with a mental health condition. But I suppose...
So literally that term was used then, depression?
No, it wasn't. That's what I mean. It wasn't. Right. So that the term, it wasn't used. And then it wasn't until a few years later when I probably started doing some work with some charities that I really realised it. So I guess within the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh.
Probably. Because I think...
It's so... Yeah.
It's mad. That's mad to think about that.
It is really.
As well. But we've been aware of that suicide stat for years.
Yeah.
As young men.
Yeah.
We know that, but we probably haven't associated that necessarily with mental illness or mental health necessarily. Which is a weird thing to think about.
Yeah. Mate, it baffles me, genuinely. Mm. I mean, if I was to ask myself that question, actually, in hindsight, I don't. Well, actually, I mean, if ADHD counts as something, I almost was the reason why I got diagnosed with ADHD, because I was so bored in a computer class that I looked up why I might be so bored in this computer class.
Yeah.
And then read this whole thing, and it was like, if you are 24 of these 30, and I was like straight up 28, maybe 29.
Yeah. Well, how does it manifest itself sort of on a daily basis for
me, ADHD?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I don't know. I think
because that's something that Bella's come to me and said that she thinks she suffers with.
Really,
definitely a lot of the symptoms of it.
I mean, there's so much. There's still quite a lot of like development going on around what people even think it is. Mm. So, for example, the ADHD specialist who I was sent to because of a TV show I was doing, just as like a psychiatric kind of thing, he told me like straight up, it was neurological. Like, you're born with it. Whereas there's this guy called Gabor Mate, who's like this really amazing progressive, I think, like child psychologist / psychiatrist. And he believes that it's, you're born with the propensity to have ADHD or something else, but it's triggered actually by the environment that you grow up in.
Mm-hmm.
But, and when he describes why he has ADHD, it's like identical to my upbringing. And I was like, oh, that's, you know... But I don't know, it manifests itself in various ways. Like I for a long time, and I'm finding ways to manage this now, you know, stuff like yoga when I can. I make sure I exercise as much as possible.
Getting up early?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and sober, all these other things.
So routine helps as well?
I think as much as I hate to admit it, I think, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Like planning things.
Yeah.
But I've had like organisational almost like dyslexia before. Like I can't, like I really struggle to like chaos is. I can understand chaos more than I can understand order.
And failure to complete tasks as well. To like focus really easily on a
distracted.
Thing.
Yeah, really easily distracted. That's something I've been really, 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 really trying with recently to just breathe and work through the fear of that. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's just a label, isn't it? But I think medication has helped me focus for sure. But since I've gone through various life changes, I do feel as though it's had some kind of, like if I managed it enough, I might actually grow out of some of the things that have held me back. But I don't know, it's up for debate.
It's very interesting though, because the medication thing I find interesting as it's still very much a taboo thing. Like if you say that to some people, they'll go, "Oh, you're on mad pills." And I think that's really? I definitely think that's a thing. And I keep talking about Bella, but you should get her on this podcast. I mean, she's actually a brilliant sort of a mental health
advocate. Yeah,
but she talks quite a lot in her book about the judgment that she faces from people when it was people she went out with or whatever that she had.
Medication. There's a massive stigma around medication.
So there's a huge stigma around it still, and actually she says there shouldn't be, because they really help her and they really help regulate
you only
it.
Hear the you only really hear I think it's because if it hasn't worked for you, you're more vocal.
Yeah,
it's one of those things, isn't it? It's like if you've done a run of antidepressants or something and it's like maybe ruined your life, or like you really struggle to get off them, or you don't wean off them and then you just lose it, you know?
And also sometimes they're given misdiagnosed
all the time. Yeah, like so. Adderall in America, just chucking it out. Don't even have to have ADHD. They're just giving you these speed pills. Do you know what I mean? That's how I really knew I had ADHD, because I'm a lot better now, but I was unbelievably, you'll remember this actually from in Rizzle Kicks, like the kind of peak Rizzle Kicks days, unbelievably impulsive. Like I honestly had
good interview though.
Yeah, I know. But good interview. I literally actually it's quite mad to think about in hindsight. I had no moment between thought and talking.
Right.
Like when I say no, I mean like I actively would say something before even considering the idea of. And then when I took this Adderall in New York, I suddenly was like able to decide if I wanted to say something.
But also there's that brilliant thing of sort of living with your condition or living with that as that is your personality.
Yeah.
And there's always a weird sort of balance between that and making sure that you're healthy and that you're getting on with life and you're feeling fulfilled and the rest of it, but also being yourself.
True.
Isn't there? There's that thing.
Yeah.
Someone asked me a really interesting, weird question, and they're like, do you think living with anxiety actually benefits some people? And I found the answer very difficult, because you can't speak for anybody really, but it's an interesting one, because
when I first went to therapy, my therapist, imagine this, in my first session, she said, you know, you sure you want to start? She's like warning, like, you want to get into this? You really want to get into this? Just because I was very, you know, like, yeah. No, it's just like, what are you going to say, you know? I was probably trying to already, like, mentally, like, oh, what, you're going to talk to me about my mum, oh, yeah, like, my mum and dad, yeah, I get it. And she was kind of like, you know, she said to me, anxiety is your petrol. Like, you live off this. This is how you create. It's going to be very difficult for you. And literally, I've come out of it, I had a year of writer's block after being successful in therapy.
Yeah, you're too like, blissful.
Just because it was just how it was like the whole, but I don't think I'd swap it.
No. Well, that's I find that really interesting, because that punctuates the point, which is it's about managing it and embracing it, really, isn't it? And embracing your own foibles as a human. Like, how can you manage it and how can you make it work for you, I guess.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
No, I know. Like, I do get it. And, you know, with some of the holistic stuff I've done, there are people, you know, like, you know, ADHD is a gift, you know. You don't have to medicate that. And I think ultimately it's what works for everyone. I'm now in a personal space where I kind of take it as I will. I feel like it's helps me on occasional days, whereas before there were horrible phases where I was like, oh my God, I haven't taken it. Can't function.
And the interesting thing is that everyone's different and nobody has worked out how to mend the brain or how to get into the brain. No one...
Well, we're working on it. It's all trauma stuff, you know? And when you're talking about your friends, you've just described community, which is like a massive aspect of, I think it underpins so many issues in our society right now, because we have kind of virtual communities. But that grounding, you know, there's an amazing author called Johan Harry, if you read his book called Lost Connections, and he talks about his experience of antidepressants, but he more importantly speaks about the reality that genuinely the psychiatrists involved in this process openly understand that it's not a cure in the slightest. They don't even, they're not even suggesting it is a cure. So he went to try and understand the root of all this stuff, and he said that the conclusion he kind of draws from a lot of going around the world and speaking to a lot of people is that it's just a loss of connection. Like, depression starts with, so for example, if you talk about someone losing a job.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You know, you have to find a way to fulfill that.
Yeah, absolutely.
To reconnect to purpose. So with your father, I think it would have been purpose in that moment. Mm-hmm. Or if I know sometimes I spend so much time focused on something or you know, I don't know, that I realise I need to just see a close mate. Mm-hmm. And even just seeing them. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what you talk about. Well, it does matter. I mean, ideally something, you know. But it's totally true, the act of seeing it.
So you're bang on. You're right, it is the connections. And a lost connection, everything can spiral out of control. And the problem is that we live in 2019, which is just, there's too much going on, it's too noisy.
I know.
Yeah. And also too disparate. Everything is split up and divided, and there's a lot of stuff to deal with.
There's a lot to process.
Yeah.
I wonder what we'd do if we were told that we had a limit. Like, imagine if we were starting the day and you went, right, your mind's got 4 gigs. Imagine.
Would you start
losing?
Yeah. I mean, they've got that app, haven't they, on the iPhone, where you can do like a phone limit, time limit on the apps and stuff.
Really?
And I've tried that, but it's too easy to get past it, because it's like, oh, you've done your 15 minutes of allotted time on Instagram today. It's like, put your password in, you get another hour. And so it's not quite right. It needs to sort of self-destruct or something.
You want some punishment?
Yeah, it needs to go off. It needs to turn itself off or something. It needs to text your ex. It needs to have some sort of... Do you know what I mean? It does, doesn't it? It needs to have some sort of...
That's incredible.
Like, I've just got a new dog and you have to train them. You have to be firm. You never harm an animal, but so you just, no, you just say
be,
no.
It's good to
you,
be firm.
You do a no. And then you reward for good behaviour.
Yeah.
So the only way we will learn is by being punished for bad behaviour.
Brilliant.
Like, if I'm looking at Instagram too long, they should immediately just dial. We can take that audio out.
We can take that audio, that exact section. The only way to learn in this world is be punished for bad behaviour.
Yeah.
Love that. A way to escape, if not briefly, or reconnect to yourself, to life, to other people, is through music, which is something that, if anything, you hear too much of.
Weirdly, I don't hear that much because it's true. We don't. When I'm doing the show, I'm not really sitting and focusing on the lyrics so much because I'm having to plan the next bit or speak to the next caller or.
You just mute it, don't you?
Think of a funny bit. Yeah, just put Radio 2 on.
Yeah.
But I think so when people are like, oh, don't you get sick of the same old songs? Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
But mainly I'm planning the next bit.
But you are. Of course, a music lover.
Yeah.
And music is, I think everyone would agree, incredibly therapeutic.
Yeah.
So we did our first gig last year, Music for Mental Health, which was wicked. And we're going to do again this year. I'd love you to come down.
Yeah, I'd love to.
But I just wondered if there are any like songs or bands or artists that have, I say, maybe cemented a moment in time for you, or you can't listen to because it's difficult, or you know that some albums that have been ruined or songs have been ruined.
Yeah, there's nothing that's too difficult to listen to, I don't think. But I've got a really interesting relationship with music, I think, because my shows on Radio 1 have always been very entertainment focused, but I've always had a huge passion for music. But I almost see those two things as a bit separate in my head. And there's sometimes where I get to really shout about a new artist and really go for it on the show. But I feel like I actually weirdly have a very, and I suppose everyone does, but it might sound weird for a radio presenter to have a very private relationship with music. Maybe that I don't necessarily get to play absolutely everything that I love on an entertainment daytime show that someone like a Hugh Stevens or you know, even someone like Lauren Laverne or something would get to play.
Well, it's that specialist though, isn't it?
Yeah, get to play a lot more of their stuff. Not to say that I dislike pop music, because I love popular music, but the albums that are really special to me, the last Bon Iver record, I really was sort of like was like therapy for me, that
was
last one. Yeah, I've always loved him anyway. I just think he's the most incredible artist. I mean, his brain is just fascinating.
Yeah,
he definitely doesn't understand his own brain. No, but you can hear that in his music, and I think he has such a great exploration of his ideas, and he always collaborates with interesting people. I mean, him collaborating with Kanye on a number of occasions is amazing, because if you listen back to his first record, you'd never in a million years go, oh, this guy who's done Skinny Love is going to end up on stage with Kanye at Glastonbury.
Do you reckon has he got back in touch with Emma?
for Emma forever ago. Maybe. I'm sure Emma's...
I hope she's all right.
I hope she's okay. I'm sure... Well, I think she is fine. I think that was the problem.
I think she's great.
But there's... some music like that was really... Because that came to me when I was... It was just after a bad breakup, and I'd met someone really amazing and new, and we sort of... We had a really amazing time together, and that was the first time I thought, okay, I can repair myself after this sort of horrible breakup.
Right.
So that album came along. It tends to be a lot of breakups.
So Bon Iver's first album?
No, the latest
Sorry,
album.
Bon Iver's latest album came at a point where you were recovering from a breakup.
Was it 22 A Million, isn't it, the album? I can't remember what it's called now.
I don't know. I mean, I'm aware of his genius, but I'm not too versed on his back catalogue.
Yeah, so that record's really was really brilliant sort of recently.
Anything old school? Anything from your childhood?
Dire Straits. Because my dad played it all the time.
Really?
So Dire Straits, The Beatles, Eric Clapton, Joan Armour Trading, that sort of music was just in the house the whole time.
Uh-huh.
So Dire Straits was a really... Whenever I hear Dire Straits, it will always rhyme with my dad, because he would always sing it around the house. And then weirdly, he was ill again about 2 or 3 years ago. And this is a really weird story. I don't think I've ever told this story. It's really odd. So he went and had to have open heart surgery.
Whoa.
Which is quite...
It's hardcore.
And it's literally invasive.
Yeah.
So...
Could have been more.
He had to have this. And he met... this surgeon was called Frank Wells. He was a very eccentric old surgeon. He was like, Alan, what we're going to do is I'm going to chop you open, get in there, have a rummage around. If we can fix the valve, I will. If I can't fix it, I'll repair it. And I'll be listening to Dire Straits while I do it. And if it goes a bit complicated, I'll put some Mozart on.
Brilliant.
And my dad was like, okay, cool. Well,
good deal.
Love Dire Straits. That's good.
Nice.
And there was a moment we were waiting. He was having it done in a hospital in just outside Cambridge. A really amazing heart and lung hospital called Adam Brooks. Shout out to Adam Brooks.
Shout out to Adam Brooks.
Save my dad.
Yo.
And me and my mum were walking around John Lewis, aimlessly panicking.
Yeah.
Like, we're waiting for the phone call. And the surgeon has said, we'll call you at about midday if it's going to happen. You know, if everything's all right,
yeah.
If it's a bit later.
Because there's, of course, a risk. Massive risk.
So we were in the audio section of John Lewis, and Dire Straits' Walk of Life was on.
Right.
One of the speakers.
Right.
And at that moment, my mum's phone rang.
No.
And it was the surgeon saying, hello, just to let you know, Alan's absolutely fine. He's a bit woozy. But he's done well. We've sewn him up. We repaired the valve. And you can come and see him at 4. And it was just one of those very weird, very weird
it's
moments.
Like universe nodding at you.
And I filmed, I went back. And I saw my mum and she was like, come over here, come over here. I went back to the speaker and filmed it just to prove that that moment
had happened.
It was very, very weird. Oh, very strange.
Wow. I love
I mean, Dire Straits are quite a popular old band, but still,
but
the coincidence
the timing,
is real and weird.
It's the timing. Yeah. I've always felt like that's the universe just giving you like a little...
Yeah. So I was very thankful for that. And anything like Van Morrison as well, we used to sing that quite a lot. So those sorts of old records definitely were quite important to me.
Wicked. I feel that. Would you say you're experiencing your best period of mental well-being?
Mm,
you are.
I would, yeah.
So what would be your worst, do you think?
The worst is when you lose perspective and you can't focus on just...
Well, when did that happen?
When you get to it, I think it's when you get to it, when I get too introverted and when I get too self-obsessed, I think. And I actually... I'd say relationships have been the thing that have consumed me the most. And that's why it was such a relief to meet someone like Bella at the time I have done, where I feel more complete as a human.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can actually help be better to the people around me and focus less on myself, weirdly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And therefore, by doing that, everyone rises up,
yeah,
you know what
course.
I mean? But there was definitely a few periods of my life where I think through your 20s, you're a mess when you're in your
20s.
Yeah. And not enough people say that you're going to be a fucking mess and a nightmare and you're going to make loads of mistakes and you might look like a grown-up, but you're essentially still 14 and you don't know what you're doing. You shouldn't be given, you shouldn't be given all this responsibility. It's true. I do. How old are you now?
I'm 27.
27.
No, but you're
coming out of it.
You're totally
you're
right.
Coming out
no,
of
no,
it.
You don't have to make up for it.
I forgot how horribly young you are.
No, I agree with you. You don't get told that, and it's painful. Mm. It really is painful.
But then the flip side of that is you have to go through shit to realise what's great and work out what's important to you eventually. And hopefully I will stay in this mindset for as long as I possibly can, that I feel that as life goes on, I become less important in my own life, if you know what I mean.
Which is great.
The other people are much better. And that was reflected in my work as well. When I realised on the radio that how could I possibly have better stories than the several million people who listen to the show.
Yeah.
Like how dare I think that I was the funniest person possible?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I have my moments.
Yeah.
But I am the orchestrator of that show.
Yeah.
I bring in people, I bring in a great guest and I go, tell your story, do your bit.
I know what you're saying.
And then suddenly that's been reflected in my actual life as well. So I've just got better with that. And I think I just became completely self-obsessed, as you tend to when you're in your 20s and like, nothing's going right for me. This girl doesn't fancy me. Why has this gone tits up? Why is that?
Yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly it's all woe is me. It's like stick Bon Iver on and wallow a little bit. But maybe you have to go through that. Maybe that is it. But I feel like now, at the ripe old age of 33, I feel sort of as fearless
that
as
is
I,
a ripe age.
It's a good age, I think.
Mate, I've always thought 35 is when I'm really going to start understanding things.
Yeah, but but weirdly, I feel sort of younger and more connected to my fearless 18-year-old self that just wanted to be on the radio. And I just didn't think I wouldn't be. And
yes.
I lost that. I lost that for a bit in my 20s.
Yes, you do lose that because you start doubting.
Mm.
And doubt is scary.
It's horrible. It eats away at
and
you.
Then it starts to make like conspiracies.
Mm.
It goes, well, clearly since you did this, this means that.
Yeah.
And that's why that's that, and you're just kind of in an endless pit of suffering.
But also it's important to say to any of your listeners that your 33 might come when you're 43, or it might have already happened when you're 27, but
it's wave-like, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
It's definitely wave-like and yeah, all I know is that my major lesson so far at 27, going through this stuff, going through a lot of self-doubt, made some big mistakes, tried to make amends, tried to believe in myself, not believe, all that kind of stuff, is that patience seems to underpin all of it for me. And
I just think time feels different. Time feels a little time, and you know what? And I'm really working on just shifting comparison and stuff. It's just needless energy. When you can actually just look at your life, ground yourself. There's like 5-10 poles, you know. Mm-hmm. This is what I find interesting, and I don't know if I'm not sure if I've said so much. There's 5-10 poles that benefit everyone, which is like sleep, nutrition, sleep, nutrition, community, exercise. Wait, what's the fifth one?
Love, music.
Wait, sleep, nutrition. I've forgotten the 5-10 poles. nature.
Yeah.
So it's like those. Honestly, I think if anyone puts them in place, then you can just. Things might not in the material world, it might not become instantly what you want, but over a period of time it will.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna just rattle through a couple of things with you. So real quick, what's your favourite colour?
Blue.
Why?
Just always liked it.
Which kind of blue?
Like a deep royally blue. Almost like a green. So a greeny blue.
Or turquoise, you're talking about. We're talking about duck egg blue,
duck egg blue. Yeah. Someone's been painting their house.
Listen, I have colour charts.
No, I'd actually say a greeny blue. I'd say a
teal.
A teal.
Yes.
A teal.
Nice, thank you. Yeah. What about, any reason, by the way? Any reason for the blue?
No, not particularly.
What's your favourite shape?
I don't know. I don't think I've got a favourite shape.
You can open it up. I mean, you're a writer. Come on, let's get metaphorical. What's your favorite shape? Is it when the clock strikes 11 p.m. and you're ready for party time? Is that your favorite shape?
I think anything that's sort of, I quite like. Sort of, I draw jaunty angles when I'm concentrating.
Right.
On the show, I quite like straight lines and jaunty offshoots and stuff. So my doodle would be like a mad jaunty angle shape would be my. Would be my doodle.
Beautiful.
Which is maybe that's maybe where my brain's going when I'm doing the show.
Yeah. Maybe. Just connecting dots.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would love to speak to you about this in my, I think we talk well.
Yeah, it's fun. The irony of that sentence.
I think we talk good, so.
We are having good chat.
No, I do. I've really enjoyed it. And you clearly have, it's quiet, your energy's brilliant, and it's very inspiring that the kind of the shift and the movements you've taken in your career. We haven't even touched upon you as a writer, which is something that I think is brilliant, and as much writing as possible, really. You know what I mean? Books and that. I don't want books to. Books are important. The word is important.
Just anything that really brings people together, isn't it? I think that's what I've learned, the power of radio and. Do it in writing books and things that focus people and bring people together.
Yeah.
It's like a share. It's a shared. It's a community. It's community, isn't it?
We're trying to launch a book club, actually.
Amazing.
So yeah, we'll let you know about that.
And also anything to sort of. My big thing is demystifying all the shit that you hear about.
Yeah.
It's like doing a radio show is hard work, but it's not impossible to do. Yeah. Like that's an achievable job.
Yeah.
That people can do. Writing a book again might seem daunting. It's an achievable thing that people can do. It's like it's a great thing that you can do with your brain, and it shouldn't ever feel like, well, now I'm going to write a book, and how do I do that? Sit in the cafe tortured, and how do I find words? Words are my tools. Actually, just fucking do it. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of argument to say that if you've got a bit of a passion, you go, just do it, man. You're a long time dead.
It's true.
My catchphrase that Bella always says back to me is, oh, come on, I haven't got time for that. We'll be dead soon. And I keep that in my head.
It's just like just positive, isn't it?
No, but it is positive. Deep down, oh, come on, we'll be dead soon, is positive because it means get up and do it today.
anything else you'd like to say?
I bleed you out.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Listen, impending doom is brilliant. So just let me know what would you say to your listeners, fans, people who jump on this podcast, because it does... You get some wicked messages for this podcast. It really is great. It's very, so it really will sit with some people. So is there anything that you can say to anyone who might be, I don't know, struggling or like not, you know, what would you say?
That everyone feels lost and that nobody really has got it cracked. And no matter how outwardly positive someone might look or sound or whatever, no one has really got it nailed, and everyone goes through their own version of what you're going through. I think that's important to know, and that it's totally important to reach out to people, and that might be your mate, just to be like, I'm feeling really sad, or I'm really struggling at work, or I think I'm in an emotionally abusive relationship, or whatever it might be. I've literally just come off the phone with one of my best mates, who is just, he's a bit older than me, and I always thought, I always looked up to him, he's an old schoolmate of mine, I always looked up to him as like the sorted guy, and he's just literally just been on the phone to me, just, and he's just described the fact that he's in an emotionally abusive relationship, and he didn't realise. And I was like, get rid. It's sometimes, it creeps up on people. So just give yourself a break is what I'd say as well.
That's a massive one.
Don't feel like you should be anything at any
but
age.
Don't necessarily have a Kit Kat because, you know, nutrition. Do you know what I mean?
I'm afraid of a Kit Kat.
Yeah.
I was the voice of Kit Kat once.
Don't lie.
Yeah, for one year and then they sacked me.
Really? Yeah. How do you eat a Kit Kat? Do you break it in half?
Yeah, of course, I'm a monster.
I mean, I've seen people do it. I've seen people take a four.
What, and eat it like that?
Yeah.
No.
I know.
I hope you disassociate yourself with those people.
I disassociate with them because, you know, nutrition is important.
No, I do. And also, one final thing, take your time with a Kit Kat.
Yeah. I've tried to distance myself from sugary snacks.
Good.
But I am a stickler for sweet and salted popcorn.
No, it's nice though.
So it's kind of exactly what I...
No, but it's like a limited... You like it because it confuses you. No, you do because it confuses your senses.
It's thinly layered in sugar. It feels like I'm less, you know? I feel like it's nutritious. I'll be like, that's popcorn. It's like 80% air. all right, great.
That's what I would say. And
that's genuinely, what you just said was fucking great. That was fucking great. I'm pretty sure we're going to actually edit that down, send it to you as a clip, and hope that you share it on your socials.
Of course I'll share it. But also, you can't talk about this stuff enough. You can't. You need to find those champions in your life that will make you feel better. Like, surround yourself with good people.
Yeah,
is the other thing, and you can't go too far wrong. Be kind. Fucking hell, be kind.
And read, which is really hard for some people. I find it really difficult. Mm-hmm. But the feeling when I get into a book is like I can't even explain it.
Audiobooks are great.
Yeah,
anything that you can escape with is nice. That you can
and reflect with,
and also just read about things that you wouldn't normally read about. It's something that I've learned as I've got older.
Mm.
Don't listen to Radio 4 a little bit,
really,
or, you know, just for a bit. Yeah,
no,
just,
I actually love Radio 4.
No, but I would have thought that at one point. You know, just a little bit. Just listen to something. Listen to a podcast that you wouldn't normally listen to because you'll probably learn something.
Yeah, it's really important, especially in these current times. To try and gain as much of a diverse opinion or a diverse outlook, rather than even opinion, perspective.
One of the most, I'll stop talking in a minute, but one of the most interesting things of my recent life. So to talk about my wonderful wife again, can you tell that I'm obsessed with her?
It's great. It's
dad used to be the editor of The Guardian. And when I met him, I asked him a lot of questions about stuff, but he... the thing I learned about from him is that he reads every paper every day, and he will, just to get the broad outlook on stuff.
Right.
And that's quite a good lesson and quite a good message, that you shouldn't just read the thing that you're into.
Yeah.
Like, know what the Sun's talking about, know why the Guardian does their thing. What you know? What's the Mirror saying? What's the Times saying? Like, all of that stuff is quite important.
I'm not sure I advocate for that now. I can't lie to you.
But it's not necessarily not just the newspapers thing, but like,
I know what you're saying. It's the message that carries, that don't be afraid to look at something in contrast to how you feel.
Yeah, yeah.
And feel empowered enough to decide whether or not. That is actually a big point, is to have the, you can choose not to engage with something. It doesn't mean you have to be annoyed that it exists.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, totally.
You don't have to love Justin Bieber, but it's good to know what he's on about, because a lot of people, and you want to understand the world a bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll be even more confused.
No, you're right. You're right. Don't
shut yourself off to anything.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah, knowledge is power. Anyway, I'll get out of it now.
But also, power is essentially not something we need to create a sense of dominion with. Power is actually
your own power.
It's all about being powerful.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say.
You know, there's a difference between power and powerful.
Yeah,
because power, I think, is relative.
I think we peaked at the Kit Kats. I hope they edited that last shit out.
All right, awesome. Thank you, Greg. Love you loads, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Nice to see you.
You too.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Powered by Spirit Studios.